And welcome back for our final hour of Afternoon Verulam. I'm Ian Collier, and with me, I've got Belinda Strange from Debenhams Otterway. We'll introduce Belinda in a second, once I say that that was Beyoncé, and the track was Crazy in Love. And Belinda will tell you all about what it's like not being crazy in love. More on that in a minute. But first of all, welcome, Belinda. Welcome to Radio Verulam.
Thanks, Ian.
Okay, would you like to say a few words? Who are you? What do you do in life?
Well, my name's Belinda Strange. I'm a senior associate solicitor in the family department at Debenhams Otterways in St Peter Street, St Albans.
Just around the corner from us here.
Indeed, yes.
Okay. Now, your topic, I said you're not crazy in love. There's a hint. We're talking about spousal maintenance, and this is after divorce, I believe.
Well, we're going to talk today about what happens when a marriage breaks down, and it has to be a marriage for there to be any spousal maintenance claims, because unfortunately, the way the current law stands at the moment, unmarried couples don't have any rights to claim money or other assets off each
other. One of your colleagues did talk about that some weeks ago, so I'm fully au fait with
jolly good.
What
it's
people
a big
think
misconception
is exactly yes
that people have common law rights.
Yes.
Unfortunately, they don't. So what we're going to talk about is types of claims that people can bring when a marriage breaks down, normally once they've issued financial claims through the court,
right?
And the range of orders, and a particular discussion about spousal maintenance. Now, the courts can make a variety of orders as part of the divorce proceedings. Most people think in terms of transferring property to each other, so that might be the matrimonial home they own.
Right.
Or there might be some pension funds. We can talk about dividing the pension funds so people can equalise either the amount they have invested or get a return of the fund to generate an income.
Okay. Can you start with the sequence of events that may lead up to this before you come involved?
Well, normally a couple would have difficulties.
Yes.
And either they might go and see a counsellor, help with the relationship. If that doesn't generate any improvement,
right,
one party or the other, and it does tend to be the wives, will instigate divorce proceedings.
Mm-hmm.
The first thing that has to happen is they have to be married for at least a year.
Oh, okay, yes.
They can't start divorce proceedings any sooner.
Mm-hmm.
If they have been married for a year, what normally happens is we prepare what's called a petition for a divorce. That sets down the reasons that the marriage is broken down.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, that'll tell the court that you're going to be looking for financial orders as a consequence of the divorce.
Right.
So, as well as having a range of orders, we can also think in terms of what's going to happen immediately once the marriage breaks down, because inevitably, one party leaves the matrimonial home, the place they live together as a husband and wife, and that can then create financial pressures. So the first thing people need to think about is, well, what money am I going to need to live on immediately?
Right.
So if there's issued a divorce petition through the court and then they've started the financial process by issuing a subsequent application for financial remedies, we can then think in terms of what we call interim maintenance. And that's basically money to give husbands or wives, and it's more commonly the wives,
money
to live on whilst the whole procedure takes its natural course.
Right.
So when we're thinking in terms of interim maintenance, we do have to bear in mind that that's only a temporary measure. So it's only money that's available to meet one party's immediate income needs.
Does it take into account children?
Children are dealt with separately.
Mm-hmm.
They're dealt with under different legislation. The Child Maintenance Service will normally deal with that, unless the couple can reach an agreement between themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So more commonly, if things are difficult, particularly at the start of a change in any relationship, couples will tend to revert to the Child Maintenance Service. They have a very helpful online calculator that people can use to determine how much is an appropriate amount they should be paid for children.
And presumably this is now handled in a nice sort of amicable way. What about if it's not the way and, say, the husband refuses to move out, or is it, if the
That is a very common problem. And unless there's any very serious allegations that we need to think about taking separate court proceedings for, such as injunctive relief, then it's a very difficult situation. You can't force somebody to leave the home where they're unwilling to do so without a court order being in place.
Okay.
So we need to think about how people are going to manage their relationships whilst this process is unfurling, And yes. It does take time, and it obviously creates a lot of tension at home.
Of course. And is this something you actually do, getting the court order?
Absolutely. Is that a solicitor's responsibility?
Yes. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Solicitors can obviously meet with clients, prepare any applications that might need to be made for emergency orders or protective orders, just to regularise behaviour or provide protection in the home.
Okay.
Certainly we can help with that.
We've got up to the interim stage. I think it's a nice little break time. I've got a track queued, crying for no reason, but I don't think in this case it's not really appropriate, is it? Crying for a very good reason, in fact. Anyway, this is Katie B, Crying for No Reason. Katie B, and she's crying for no reason, but, well, what we're talking about would give you a good reason to cry. Back with Belinda from Debenhams Otway. Belinda, would you like to... We'll summarise, please, if you can, you know, the first session, the major bullet points from that.
Well, we were talking, Ian, about what happens when a marriage breaks down and the financial implications and the types of claims people can bring through the courts, the first of which would be an interim maintenance application, just for money to tie you over for your immediate income needs, and that's your everyday living expenses. So not luxury items, not holidays handbags or anything, but just the items you need to be paid to keep yourself afloat, keep your head above water.
Right.
And that will ultimately depend upon the standard of living that you enjoyed throughout the marriage and also what is fair and reasonable to you both.
So if you're living in a big house with a council tax of $2,500 a year, that has to be maintained, and
somehow that has to be maintained.
Right. Okay.
Yes.
And
it will all be taken into account.
So you don't have to downsize immediately, then.
Not necessarily.
No. Okay.
But once the immediate income needs are looked at, husbands and wives need to think about the longer term arrangements, and that's where we really get down to looking at spousal maintenance, how it's going to be paid, how much is appropriate, and for how long it should go on for. Now, there was a major case back in 2000, case of White and White, which gave us very significant ruling about how we should look at this. And the court said there's always going to be what they call the yardstick of equality. So that's the measure against which the courts will examine any competing financial claims. Ultimately, that results in an equal division. So there's a balancing to be done of the party's income. So we look at the income from all sources, we look at everybody's outgoings, and we see how to balance that to make it fair and reasonable to both husband and wife. Now, the courts have a great discretion as to how long these orders can go on for. And there's been a big shift recently away from having money being paid forever towards reducing the term, limiting it down. So courts will expect that wives, it is normally a wife who's the recipient of spousal maintenance, will gradually become self-reliant. So we're seeing a change towards what we call term orders for a limited period of time, just to enable a wife to get back up on her feet, maybe resume her career or look at her employment prospects to start generating income and move towards supporting herself. Now, normally, if there is a term order for a defined period of time, that may come to an end sooner if there are certain triggering events which take place prior.
And what would be a typical triggering event then?
Well, there's a variety of events. Normally, if there's children, one of the events could be perhaps the youngest child of the family turning 18 or leaving full-time school.
Yes.
It could end on people's deaths. It does happen.
Oh, right, yes.
It could also end if the wife normally gets remarried.
Ah, right.
Because obviously her needs could then be met by a new husband.
Now, does that sort of automatically come into play if a wife remarries? Does the husband have to sort of find out and seek the ending of the maintenance?
Normally, when these types of financial arrangements are looked at and decided by a husband and wife who are separating, there will be a financial remedy order.
Right.
And that'll be something that a solicitor has prepared, which is agreed by both husband and wife. They would have had the benefit of legal advice from their solicitors on it as well. They then sign it off. That goes to a judge. And that will set out when the financial obligations to each other comes to an end. So it'll be clearly defined in any court order.
Okay. Now, if somebody comes to you, are there set charges for this, or is it based on the award made, or how finance? I mean, obviously, it's a serious point. If somebody's already a bit stretched for money, how do they...
Naturally, that's a big concern for people who are having difficulties, is how are they going to manage to pay their legal fees?
Yes.
We don't offer any fixed rate packages. We find that clients tend to want to use our services, and we'll structure the work that they want us to do depending on their needs.
Right.
So we normally work on a time basis in common with all solicitors, and we charge on an hourly rate.
Okay.
Now, at Debenhams Otterways, we can offer a range of qualified family law solicitors to match the party's needs.
So if somebody comes in that's a wag of a footballer, will they get a different rate to if they're Mrs. Mop and, you know, on a low income?
It all depends on how complicated the assets are, what level of conflict is likely to be experienced, and then we can match the level of experience of a solicitor.
You would actually make an assessment saying, well, this is quite a complex one. It could be, you know, 10 weeks of 2 hours a week, or it's a quickie and, you know, we'll be over in 2 days sort of thing. You would make an assessment, would you?
Yes, we would. And yeah. We tend to make sure that all our clients' costs are commensurate to the assets in the case and the complexity as well.
Okay. Well, that's fantastic. I hope not to use your services because I'm still talking to my wife.
Pleased to hear it.
Well, I was this morning anyway. Well, all I can do is thank you for coming in. Would you like to a very, very quick summary then of you know, what it is that, why people should come to you?
Well, Debenhams Otterways are a very unique firm in St Albans. I think we've got a long history, we're an established firm, and we do offer all services, whether it's to business or whether it's to individuals. We've got somebody in the office who will have the necessary experience and relevant expertise to help.
Okay, that's fantastic. And there is a website, of course, which people can log on to at Debenhams Otterway. We always say this, and you've got telephone numbers, their addresses and everything. And well, hopefully not too many people need your service, but if they do, let's hope they find you, Belinda. Thank you very much for coming in. I've learned a great deal, and well, we hope everybody listening has. Thank you very much, Belinda.
Thanks, Ian.
And this is the good stuff. The B52s, I should say, with good stuff. That was good stuff. Thank you.